Before I have you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, I do first of all want to read a portion of another prophet, the prophet Ezekiel. So if you would turn with me to Ezekiel 34, and we're going to begin reading with verse 11. Verses 11 through 16 of Ezekiel chapter 34. Again, let us hear the word of God. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their food shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Then we turn to Acts chapter 2, and you will be aware that it's in Acts chapter 2 that we have the recording of the day of Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church, and we have recorded there how the New Testament church is constituted and begin to see. And we get to the end of that chapter, and we're just going to read the second part of the last verse, Acts 1, verse 47, and the second part. And we simply read these words: and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. The word that is used in the original language, which is translated church, in the Greek language, that word is a word that simply means those who are summoned to a political gathering. It's the word that the New Testament writers chose to use and gave it the designation of those who are summoned to a religious gathering, particularly those who have a relationship with God. And so we have the word church. What we are looking at here is the Lord called out unto himself, the Lord summoned to himself those who being saved. And so we have in view here particularly are the words, and he added to the church. Along with the idea of calling out to himself, which is by God through the Son, the work of inviting, as we read of it in Isaiah, and the desire and the concern, as we read of it in Ezekiel, to bring in the people of God. But it is the idea of to be called out from, to be summoned, is to be summoned to something and to be separated from that which you are being called out from. Those who have been summoned have been called out. That is, they are separated from where they were and distinguished. So the people of God who have been called out unto God are no longer people of this world. Now there is a lot involved in just the few basic things mentioned here about the concept of the church. And yet in looking at this statement, we will see a few basic aspects as we think about what is the church. And there is a great deal of different things that the scripture teaches about that. There's a great deal of different things that many people have, some pretty good, some not so good. But what are the basic aspects of what is the church, as it is noted here in terms of what took place on the day of Pentecost? And specifically, what we will notice is that it is a community of believers. It comes about, secondly, by the effective work of salvation by the Lord. And it is made up of a people summoned by God. Now, going back to the basic meaning of the word, it is important to stress the idea that there is an assembly. There is a community, if you will, that the Lord is adding to. Now, in the Old Testament, that was the nation of Israel. There were a few additions to that from outside. There were many subtractions as they kept turning away from God. In the New Covenant, it is not identified by a nation or by a race or color or anything outward, but by those whom the Lord adds. But what we need to understand here is that it is not called, you are not called, and this is something that is often held to today, you are not just called as an individual, and there are others, many others perhaps, who are also called as individuals, and you both are called to the same thing, but yet you are just, it's just about you and the Lord. And someday you're going to all be in heaven. What is important to understand is that your relationship is equally seen in terms of the group that you are called to. Notice specifically the language here. Those who are being saved are added to the church. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Added to what? The church. Yes, it is those being saved, and it is important. I want to be very careful about that here. You need to know that you are saved by what Christ has done for you, specifically. That he died on the cross, covered with his blood your sins before God. He made the payment, and you know him yourself as your Savior. But when that is a reality for you, when you have come to know the Lord as your Savior, that your sins have been paid for you, you have also then equally been added to a community. You have become one with the body of Christ. That community is the called out ones of God. Those who have been summoned. Not those who have just decided, well, I think this is a pretty good deal. I'm going to see if that there's an advantage for me here. No, you've been summoned by God to himself. Again, I mentioned the fact that we find this verse at the end, sort of a concluding statement about what happened on the day of Pentecost. But what we see is that there were many who, as Peter addresses them very boldly and very clearly, you who have put Christ on the cross, he is the Savior the Lord has given unto you. And they responded, by no means all of them, but they responded. And we read of them immediately meeting together, fellowshipping together, going from house to house. Yes, that was a sort of unique situation in that first week, in that first time of the New Testament church in Jerusalem. But they saw themselves as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Their relationship to each other, because the relationship they had with God was very important. It was highlighted. And there is, of course, a variation of different ways in which we can interpret from the scriptures how we understand this group. But first of all, by being added to the daily, to the church, has a reference to a current status. You cannot simply have a reference to those who will someday be with the Lord in heaven. They are added at a particular point in time. Daily being saved, they are added to the church. Think of Peter's confession in Matthew 16 when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the living God." And Jesus says that based on this confession, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail." The picture there is literally this. That based on that confession, that Christ is going to invade, if you will, and nothing can stop him, the kingdom of Satan. And he's going to bring out from the kingdom of Satan those whom he seeks to save. And he adds them to his kingdom. The kingdom of Christ. In 1 Peter, we have the picture, you will remember, of as Christians being spoken of as living stones. That is, stones being built together for a building. They're all individual stones, but they are in one building built on Christ, the cornerstone. Now, theologically, we speak of this as the invisible church. By that we mean all those who truly know the Lord. All those who are truly saved. But note this as well. Here in chapter 2 we read of 3,000 on that day who were baptized, who responded to Peter and the call to recognize Christ as their Savior, they and their children. In chapter 4, we read of the number being 5,000. By the time we get to Acts chapter 6, not that terribly much later, probably a few months have passed. In Acts chapter 6, you will remember, we begin to deal with the problem of the organization of the work of taking care of the poor, and there was complaints about some of the widows were not equally dealt with as others and so on. At any rate, the conservative estimates are that there were 20,000 members. They're still all in Jerusalem. They're still all either Jews from Jerusalem or Jews from the Mediterranean world, referred to as Hellenist Jews. And no, this is not the first megachurch. But they were identified as those gathering together for worship. Probably had somewhere had been synagogues meeting and they had their congregations, but they were identified as those who were meeting together for worship. They were taking care of the poor. They were in the church. They were recognized in some way. More than likely, they didn't have a computer to put down the names of all the members, but they knew who they were. They were identified as having been added to the church. The invisible church, all of God's people, are always reflected in terms of being part of the visible church, the church that we see, the church that gathers as we are gathered, the church that knows its members, the church that understands the relationship of brothers and sisters in the Lord. It is the community of believers that we are talking about. You know, what is so clear from the passage underscored, said all of this is the work of the Lord. The Lord added to the church. Yes, Peter preached. Peter preached boldly. He said right out, you guys who committed murder with Christ, he's your Savior. You need to trust in him. They were convicted in their hearts. The following day, Peter and John go by the temple, and they continue to testify of the work of Christ and of Christ, and people hear, and they're called. The gospel is made known. You see, Christ commissioned the church to make disciples and to identify them as members of the church. There is a call, as we hear from Isaiah, there's a call that goes out. Come, buy wine without money. Listen to the good news. But know that in all of that, it is Christ who convicts the hearts of the hearer. It is Christ who changes, opens up the ears that they will hear. It is Christ who brings in to the church those for whom he has died on the cross. God, as planned in eternity, is accomplishing his eternal plan of salvation in time as the Lord adds to the church. So keep in mind that as we are talking about the church, and whatever concerns there are about a specific church, and yes, the church here on earth is a church that struggles. It's another word that we use for the church militant. We're struggling. There are those groups who will take on the name of church that are not at all faithful or not really the Church of Christ. We need to deal with that. But in that regard, without going too far from what we have here in this passage, there are two things specifically which need to be noted. First of all, he is the Lord. It is the Lord who adds to the church. The Lord doesn't just save you so that you can have the privilege of someday being with him in eternity. The Lord has called you and added you to the church that you might be part of his church. The Lord that is the master. I mentioned earlier, bringing people out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. You have been added to his kingdom for the purpose of serving him in his kingdom. He is the Christ. Those who were added were those who were saved. Yes, Christ tells us in John 17 that his work is finished. All whom the Lord, whom God has from eternity determined to save, whom God gave, the Father gave to the Son to die for on the cross, all who were given to Christ, their sins are covered. And by his resurrection, their new life in Christ is guaranteed. But now in reality, today in time, whether it's in the first century or in the 21st century, there are still those out there that need to hear and be added to the church. That is, salvation, though accomplished by Christ on the cross, they need yet to be saved in the sense of their ears opened, their hearts changed. They needed to be added. Christ the Savior accomplishes that as well. You see, the church exists because Christ has built it. The church will always be around. It will never become old-fashioned or no longer effective or no longer useful. There are other ways in which, no, the church is the Church of Christ. It will always be around. There will be a church which is faithful. The church will be victorious because of the church which Christ has built. Yes, those are bold statements, and there's a lot that we can look at in regard to all of them. But it is the case because it is Christ who builds the church. As we have this picture of the Christ, or of the church, what we have is the work of Christ. Now, I want to be very careful here. There are always extenuating circumstances. There are always situations. We do not measure orthodoxy based on numbers. That has been done way too much. It has not resulted in faithfulness to the Lord. But whether a particular church has more numbers at the end of the year, though not the measurement of orthodoxy, yet a basic characteristic as given to us here in Luke's description of what happened on the day of Pentecost in the church is that a basic characteristic of the church is that Christ is adding to the church. He is adding to the church. Let's remember what we read from Ezekiel. Behind the idea of the Lord daily added to the church and the fact that it remains true today, that is not just something that happened during the day of Pentecost or even the first few weeks until we got up to Acts chapter 6, because there's something special going on here. Yes, God has different times in which the church is received and times in which the world is closed to the church in many different ways, and et cetera, and so on. But the idea behind that the church basic characteristics that the Lord adds to the church is forever true until all have been added. And that's what the prophet Ezekiel says, speaking the words of God. He says, I have sheep who are out there, they're stuck in the kingdom of Satan. They are blind. They are living a hopeless life. They are foolishly following Satan and his words. And I must go there and find them and bring them in. This is not just an invitation. This is not just simply saying, you know, we'd be happy. Anybody that walks into church on Sunday morning, we welcome them with open arms. And we should, and we do. That's great. But we need to understand that what Ezekiel is talking about is people who are blind to that. The word of God is effective by the preaching of the word that is taken to those out there that are. But note, he identifies them not as people whom it would be nice if I could add a few more to the church. God claims them. They are his sheep out there from eternity. They need to hear the gospel so that they can be added to the church, because God has set them apart for himself. Yet they are identified as those who are the sheep of God. Notice the language in Ezekiel and here in Acts. It's not that someone out there, the kingdom of Satan, first belongs to God at the time when they enter the church. Yes, that's when they are, their hearts are changed. That's when their minds are changed. Their eyes are opened. They become faithful, thankful followers of Christ. They are being saved in that sense. But remember, Christ said all who were given to him, the work was finished. Those people are yet out there. They have not yet heard the gospel. The Holy Spirit has not yet come upon them, because God has determined from eternity who his sheep are. He has sent the Savior so that they might hear his voice. And as they come into the church, they come from darkness to light. They come from rebellion to faithful living before God. And thus, as the saved, yes, they are then, in time, added to the church. Of course, we do not know who those are. But we know the message. And now we Go further back to the prophet Isaiah. Notice in the midst of that wonderful invitation, come buy water, wine, milk, whatever the words are, without price. It is freely given unto you. He also says, my word shall go from my mouth and shall not return void. If we really believe that God is sovereign in salvation, and that salvation is not what the individual accomplishes, but what God does, then we who have been added to the church will be equally as the prophet was concerned about those yet needing to hear that gospel, that they might be added to the church, and that nothing would be more important in seeing that what the church is about. Yes, of course, it is important that you, as those have been added to the church, know the Lord, that you worship Him, and that nothing keeps you from that worship, and that you fellowship with God's people, that you enjoy having been added to the church and knowing what that means, and giving your life to the Lord who has brought you out of this kingdom, summoned you away from the world into the kingdom of Christ. But then understand that equally what that means, the definition, the characteristic of the church that we have here in the book of Acts, is that you are now part of God's kingdom, used by God to take that word out there to the lost. God has promised to build His church. We have a beginning record of it happening here in the book of Acts. That work is not finished. There is not just something special taking place on the day of Pentecost. This is description of what the church is and continues to be. The Lord daily, the Lord in time, adds to the church those who are being saved. The church is the people of God. The church is the called out from this world to the people who belong to God and have salvation. It is the summoned community of believers. It's my intention to continue to look at various passages which further define and describe in more detail the aspects and the work of the church and how we are to understand the church. But at least I wanted to begin, and I trust that you will be fed and understand what it means, first of all, to be church, to be a part of the church. The church does not save. Having your name on a membership roll does not save anyone. But the church, the saved are in the church. That is what you are called to. Yes, the Lord leaves us to struggle with the reality of the temptation of the world around us. But we do not just become part of a church, maybe a little bit at a time. The Lord has called you out. He has summoned you from that kingdom to His kingdom. Are you really added to the church? And remember, when the Lord adds you to the church, then you are part of that church by which He continues to add to the church. That's who we are. That's what the Lord has done with us as God's people. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we are so thankful that You are the sovereign Lord who from eternity has set apart and through time, you build your church one living stone at a time. But you build that church upon Christ, the cornerstone. May we be truly a living church. And may there be a daily adding, that we would all together know you, even as the Lord has called us to himself and has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now.